report here today, you're probably thinking, something looks different. And if you can't quite put your finger on it, you know, you're thinking, what is it that looks different up here this morning? Maybe you think it's the new tie. But no, it's not a new tie. Or maybe I got a haircut. What exactly is it? You just can't seem to put your finger on it. What is different up here this morning? Well, I think you all realize that everything that's normally in this area has been moved around. As I tried to think of where I could put a glass of water this morning, I had to scratch my head a little bit and kind of improvise in the last moment. But things have been moved around. And why is that? Why have we moved things around? Well, because today is the first Sunday of Advent. Now, Advent literally means a coming. So today we celebrate a coming. And what coming is it that we celebrate today? What is it that came into the world at this time of the year that we celebrate every year? The coming of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior, the inbreaking of God into our world, the incoming of the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, came into this world. And we call that the first Advent. But today, I don't want to talk about the first Advent with you. I'm going to talk about the second Advent. Because we as Christians believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. We believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to judge humanity. And we need to be ready at all times, because Jesus Christ could be coming back anytime. So today, I want to encourage you to not fall asleep, just like the Apostle Paul said. But you can always be ready. But before we begin today, I think it would be appropriate for me to start with a little bit of a story. And, you know, it's December 2nd. It's starting to get cold outside. Have you noticed that? It's a little bit colder than it had been. And it seems like it's been a long time since Sonia and I went to Trinidad this summer. Now, it's been less than 6 months ago that we boarded that plane and headed south to the Caribbean. And when we got off that plane, it was hot and it was sticky. And it was just so much different than it is here today. It seems like a lifetime ago. But when we got off that plane, it was more than just the hot temperature and hot weather that we were stepping into. We were stepping into an entirely different culture from what we were used to. You see, here in America, we are always busy. We're busy, busy, busy. We always have something to do, somewhere to be. There's something that we have to be doing at every time of the day. But in Trinidad, it's way more laid back. If you are late for something in America, well, that's almost an unpardonable sin. We dare not be late. Nobody else should have to wait on us. That's wrong. But in Trinidad, well, we didn't have a car there. So we were reliant upon other people to take us from one place to another. And if somebody would say, we'll be there to pick you up at 4 o'clock, well, we learned pretty quickly that there's a lot of flexibility there. When they say 4 o'clock, that means they'll be there anytime after 4 o'clock, probably within an hour. So they could come anytime, 4, 4.15, 4.30, 4.45. And even though they have cell phones, everybody in Trinidad has cell phones, they could have called us and said, we're running late. But to them, they weren't late. They were right on time. They were within an hour of when they said they would come pick us up. So they were running on Trinity time, as they call it. They weren't late as long as they were within that hour. So what are punctual Americans like us to do? We have this desire to be ready to go whenever somebody tells us they're going to be there to pick us up. Well, Sonia and I came up with three different options of what we could do. We decided, we could either, one, we could wait until they arrive to pick us up and then try to get ready to go as quickly as possible. But as we thought about that option, we thought, you know, that's not a good idea because then they have to wait on us and we'll be even later than we originally planned on being. Okay, so that doesn't work. The second option would be to estimate what time they were going to come and pick us up. So if they said, I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock, we would assume that they would be there at 4:30. Well, you can't always count on that 30-minute buffer. They might be there at 4:15. Okay, so that idea didn't work, because if we did wait until 4:30 to get ready, then they still were waiting on us. So we decided that the best option that we had was to be ready when they told us that they would be there. And then we were prepared whenever they did arrive. Now our scripture for today also talks a lot about waiting. The Apostle Paul tells the Roman believers that they are to wake up because their salvation is nearer now than it was when they first believed. Well, Paul isn't talking about a moment of salvation like we sometimes talk about today. We talk today about being saved when we make that decision to serve Christ. But Paul is not referring to that here. He's talking to the Roman believers. They have already accepted Christ. And using the language that we use today, they have already been saved. So what he's talking about here is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the second advent. So he's saying that our salvation, the second coming of Christ, is nearer now than it was when we first believed. Now when Christ comes back, we learn in Matthew chapter 25 that he will judge humanity, that he will gather people together, and he will separate them like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will gather a group of people on his right side, and those people, those who have dedicated their lives to serving Jesus Christ and him alone, those people will inherit the kingdom of God. And he will separate another group to his left, the people that lived for themselves and lived to serve other gods, people that never knew Jesus Christ. And those people will inherit eternal, I hate to say the word damnation, but that's what the Bible tells us. So it's inherit eternal damnation. So this is what happens when Jesus comes back. This is the second advent that Paul is speaking of. Now I want to ask you all this question because I don't know the answer. Can you tell me when this is going to happen? Because it would make my life a whole lot easier if I knew exactly when Jesus Christ was going to come back. I'll write it down right now. Do you have a date, a time, and a place? I think I'm going to leave that spot blank for now. Well, the best Paul can do is to say that our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. And that makes sense. Today is December 2nd. On December 25th, we will celebrate Christmas. So tomorrow, Christmas will be closer than it was today. And as long as we don't go past Christmas, Christmas will continue to get closer. Now on the 26th, and then on the 27th, and each day after that, Christmas gets further away. So up until the point when this event occurs, we are getting closer to it. Once it does occur, we are getting further from it. So if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior when you were 20 years old, and today you are 50, you are now 30 years closer to the second coming of Christ. Your salvation is now closer than it was when you first believed. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying your salvation is closer now than when you first believed. And it's just as true for Paul's day as it is for us today. Because as far as I know, Jesus Christ has not come back a second time. So that event is closer today than when we first believed. Now many people in our day today seem to think that they know when Jesus Christ is coming back. And this kind of bothers me. It kind of bothers me that people think that they know exactly when he's coming back. Now, some of you were probably alive in the year 1947. You don't have to raise your hand. But do you remember something that happened in the year 1947 that made people believe that Jesus was coming back then? The establishment of the state of Israel. People got excited about this. They thought Jesus Christ is coming back today. Now, if we think about 8 years ago, the year 2000 was about to come. And many people thought, this is surely it. Christ is coming back in the year 2000. Well, that day came and it went. And still no Christ. But this is no new phenomenon. People have believed that they knew when Christ was coming back. Ever since Christ was here the first time, many people made the statement that Jesus is coming back on a certain date or a certain time and a certain place. But what does Jesus teach us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 34? He teaches us that even he does not know the time or place that he will come back. Who knows? Only the Father. So it seems kind of conceited to me that people would make such statements that they know where Jesus is coming back and when he's coming back. we look through the Bible, we definitely find signs that are going to occur that lead up to the coming of Jesus Christ. We read that there's going to be times of warfare and strife, that many people will come in the name of Jesus Christ claiming to be Him. And as we look at these signs, we can see clearly that we are living in an age when Jesus Christ could come back. He could come back today because we do experience warfare and strife. There are people that come in the name of Jesus Christ claiming to be Him. So while I will not claim that Jesus Christ is coming back today, I also will not say that He is not coming back today. We can't know for sure, but we must be ready. That's the problem with having your notes way down there. So Jesus Christ may come back today, He may come back tomorrow, or it may be another 1,000 years until He comes back. We can't say for sure. But this does not change a single thing about the way we are called to live today. We as Christians are not supposed to change our life based on the way that we expect Christ to come back or when we expect Him to come back. We should be living every day of our life as if He was coming back today. It should not make a difference if we think He's coming back today or tomorrow. It shouldn't make a difference if we think it's not going to be for another 1,000 years. Now, we probably all have met people that have said, well, I'm going to give my life to serving Christ some other day, whenever I'm older, because now I'm having too much fun. I went to high school with a young lady, and she had this attitude. She said, I'm going to accept Christ after college. I'm going to start serving Christ whenever I'm done having my fun. And she went to college, and she had these intentions of partying and causing, you know, not causing trouble, but not living by what Christ would call us to live, not living by this way. But God had a different plan for her life. And she got into college, and God just got a hold of her and just took her entire life, and He used her to be a light to that college community. God had a different plan for her, but she thought she would just wait until life was almost over, until she was done having fun, to be a Christian. And I see this in our society today. Our society is full of procrastinators. We procrastinate everything. We even put off serving Christ sometimes. We put it off until the last minute. But I think people that put off serving Christ until the last minute are sorely missing the point. They're missing the entire point of Christianity. The point of Christianity, and hear me out here, this is going to sound somewhat scandalous. The point of Christianity is not to go to heaven. The point of Christianity is to be a faithful servant to Jesus Christ. So if we think we can just move in at the last moment and say this prayer and accept Christ just because we think that that's going to get us saved, well, I'm not the one to judge if that person does or does not go to heaven. But I will say that that person is missing out on a huge opportunity to serve Christ with their entire life. My friend that accepted Christ as a college student would not go back to the life that she had lived, where she thought it was so much more fun to go out and party, or and cause whatever, wreak havoc. I don't know how to describe it properly. But she would not go back to that lifestyle because she found fulfillment in her life when she began serving Christ. Now, yes, heaven is a huge part of our Christian life. It is a huge reward for those who are faithful. But it's not the only thing. It's not the only point of being a Christian. Being a Christian is about being faithful to Jesus Christ. And we are sorely mistaken if we think that our lives and how we live doesn't affect the way God looks at us. The way we live does make a difference. If we look at verses 13 and 14 from our scripture for today, it says, "Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Paul is telling these Roman believers that they must live for Christ. They must put on Christ. That doesn't mean they just believe in Christ. That means they walk as He walked. They talk as He talked. They do as He did, and they live as Christ lived. That's what it means to put on Christ. We try to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. We live for Him. We live for Christ. Now, we seem to have this dichotomy, a false dichotomy, set up in our society. And this society tells us that there's two kinds of works that we can do, two kinds of work that we can do for employment. We can either do secular work, or we can work as a clergy person. A clergy person would be somebody that is either a pastor or a preacher, maybe a missionary. And then a secular worker would be somebody that works out in the non-church-related field. This is the dichotomy that our society sets up. And I just think that it's so wrong. Because what we do in society, we can do that in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you are a teacher, a carpenter, a mother, a father, if you are a waitress. Whatever you do, you can do that in the name of Jesus Christ. You can serve Him daily in what you are doing. So think for a minute, what would it look like if you lived your life for Christ as a waitress? What would it look like if you lived your life for Christ as a carpenter? What would it look like if you lived your life for Christ as a mother, as a father, as a retired person, as a school teacher? Well, to me, that means that you make every decision thinking first of Christ. You let Christ shape your actions and your words, and you act out of the love of God, showing that to the people that you come in contact with. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to be doing the work of Christ, but we are all called to be His servants. We are all called to live out our faith. Now, Paul tells the people in Rome that they are to wake up from their slumber. He's speaking to these people who are believers, who are followers of Jesus Christ. And he tells them to wake up because their salvation is nearer than it was when they first believed. Christ is coming back. Paul knew it, and we know it today. But we don't know when that will occur. But we need to be ready at all times so that when He does come back, that He won't find us in our idle lifestyle. But He will rather find us living for Christ, living for Him. Now, when I began today, I discussed three different options that Sonia and I had whenever we didn't know when the people were coming to pick us up in Trinidad. We had three different options. The first one was we could wait until they arrived and then try to get ready as quickly as possible when we knew they were there. The second option was that we could try to estimate when they would be coming, and then try to get ready by that certain time. Or the third option was that we got ready when they told us they were going to be there, and then we were prepared whenever they finally did show up. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus did tell us that He's coming back. He didn't give us a time. He didn't give us a place. But He said He's coming. And those first two options, they're not going to work for us as Christians. Because I don't think Jesus is going to wait on us to get ready when He does come back. He has been waiting for the last 2,000 years. When He does come back, He will judge. Do not slumber. We must wake up. Because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. Jesus is coming back. This holiday season, as we celebrate the first Advent, let us not forget that though Christ was here a first time, Even though He came once, that means He will come again. Eschatology, the promise of the end times, it always has a promise worked into it. Christ is coming back, and there is a promise there for all who believe. Be ready at all times, because we never do know when that will be. Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving God, as we are gathered here today, we are humbled by the fact that you came to us in human flesh to live a perfect life, to die for our sins. And Lord, we are here today because we have been called to be your faithful servants. We have been called to be your followers. Lord, help us to live that out each and every day. And we follow you in word, and then we follow you in deed. And Lord, may we be ready whenever you do come back. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.